You got the point?
We're live.
10 years. WordPress has been around for 10 years, and it runs some of the biggest sites on the net. It powers almost 20% of the web, and it shows no signs of stopping anytime soon. So it feels weird to say this. There's a whole other undiscovered country out there. There's dark matter, a dark energy, and it's untapped. That's right. Like James Tiberius Kirk, I'm talking about the Enterprise. Poor, unfortunate souls labor under the tyranny of E-class software. Thousands slave away under SharePoint's jackboot. They cower at Confluence's velvet-gloved fist. So let me just say this. There is no WordPressian prime directive. Don't fall for the con. Get out there and mine those final frontiers. Don't let the Enterprise market be your nemesis. Go boldly into the darkness. I'm Doug Stewart, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the depths of internet magic and the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drad.
For the Dradcast, bringing you the latest in WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop. Talking shop with community leaders and innovators.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
Yes! Now, we bring you your favorite Santan alumni. The craziest prior military geeks you'll ever meet. Your favorite WordPress personalities, Dre Armada and Brad Williams. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
To infinity and beyond, or maybe that's the wrong show, but that's the direction I wanted to take this. Brad, man, this is awesome. 2 days removed from seeing my brother, and we're here live with Mr. Doug Stewart.
I was already missing you, man. I was literally sitting right where, or not sitting there, but I was right behind you, what, 2 days ago, 3 days ago? It was awesome.
It was a good time at WordCamp Orange County. We'll talk about that a little bit. Man. What's going on there, Mr. Stewart?
Not a whole lot. Sitting here consigned to the attic, you know, get away from the kids and all the noise that incurs. But I'm excited.
Can we just, before we get started, can we talk about the girl in the room, and that is the amount of beards that are happening right now? Like I haven't shaved in a while, but I feel like a newborn baby. I mean, like Dre's beard is pretty epic, but Doug, man, gotta hand it to you. I think you win this one.
Hands down.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw a picture that you put up on Twitter the other day, Dre. I was like, all right, he's catching up quick.
He's like, I'm poofing up for this one.
He's got me. I don't know how much gusto I have left in this, man. I'm running out of fuel, if you will.
It's summer, baby. You got to shave that off.
Well, that it doesn't help. My AC is not getting replaced till next week or to the end of this week. It's down right now. So it feels like the surface of the sun in here today. It's good stuff. Oh, man.
So if we lose your feed, we know what happened.
Well, yeah, it's either
melted.
Either I melted or my beard got caught in my microphone and caught fire. So,
let's get into it, gentlemen. We got a busy, busy show, tons of topics, so let's dive right in. Before we do that, I want to know what you guys are sipping on.
Oh, just sipping on.
Doug, what do you got over there? And when I say over there, I mean about a mile from my house.
I got a standard Yingling lager right here. Staying local, staying cheap, staying good.
I wish that was staying at my house because we don't get any Yingling over here.
That's so good.
But I am rocking one of San Diego's finest with a Stone Pale Ale, which is delicious in its own right. It's good stuff. Yes.
I'm back on it. Dre and I had a little bit of scotch when I was visiting, and I know Doug's a big scotch guy, so I figured, hey, I'll... It's a good night for a scotch. I got a little 8-year McPhail's here from straight from Scotland, actually. I brought it back myself. So
nice.
Cheers, fellas.
Salud, salud.
Let's talk about our sponsor. Sponsor for tonight is the one and only Gravity Forms, the best, most popular, probably easily the most successful premium plugin ever developed for WordPress. Gravity Forms, version 1.7. It's just been released. It's only a few weeks old. Adds in a ton of functionality. Absolutely love it. If you do anything on WordPress, and let me be clear, Gravity Forms is not just for forms. It's way more than that. If you do anything on WordPress, you need this plugin. Go check it out, gravityforms.com.
Man, it's going to be a jam-packed episode, so I want to jump right into it here. Well, we talked about an area that you beat me, and that's the beard. An area that you're not quite caught up is the amount of children that you have, but it's pretty close.
That's true. You got me beat by one.
I got you beat by one. But what I want to know is where do you fall in terms of WordPress? When did you get involved with WordPress? What led you into the whole meetup and WordCamp scene? Let's step back from that and talk about the platform and the community as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. So I got started, like so many people, on Blogger. I felt like maybe I should contribute my voice to the internet as a whole. And then I realized that was pretty egotistical, and actually I didn't have a whole lot to add to the conversation, so I was just going to do stuff that amused myself. And so I started looking around. I had Speakeasy DSL back in the day, and I actually got them to comp me a static IP address. So I had a static IP address sitting at home, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to install something that'll let me run the blog here, and I'll be able to do, you know, mess around with the look and feel a lot more and just have more control. So I started looking at movable type. Mm-hmm. And so this was back, this was right prior to their license switch.
Oh,
and I'm sitting there looking at it, and I'm like, oh, this would be great, except, you know, you got to publish the whole site every time and update all this stuff, whatever. I'm going to do that, and then they changed the license, and I thought, oh, all right, well, I kind of been looking at this WordPress thing, and they hit version 1.0, and their GPL and it's free, so let's go with that. So I installed it on my home machine, and I'm sitting here looking at it. The first one that I got, the first citation of WordPress on my blog, is back in February of 2004. So
old school.
Yep, man. Yep.
And so, that's 1.2 released right around there. So it was right. That's
yeah. It was. I think I got in at 1.0, and then the 1.2 rolled in not too shortly thereafter. And so I started putting stuff in my-hacks.php. you had to edit the classic, you know, style by hand, and so that was fun. But that was, like I said, back in 04. And so I did the bulk import, pulled all the Blogger content over, and I once again been looking back through the archives, and got involved with the Philly WordPress meetup back in 05, so it was early 05. There's actually a picture I've got here somewhere. It's me and Ryan Duff and Owen Winkler and a couple other folks sitting in Fergie's Tavern down in Philadelphia, and it was the first official Philly WordPress meetup.
Wasn't that one of the first actual WordPress meetups in the country, or very close to the beginning?
I'm not going to go that far, but yeah, I would go that far.
It was early on. I mean, you're talking 2005. You know, that's yeah. I mean, that's before I even started using WordPress, and you're already running meetups about it. That's
yeah,
amazing.
It was 2005, and it was right before Duff moved out all the way out to Harrisburg. So,
and a lot of people don't realize that in the Philly community, that the meetup is very old. It went on for a period of time, and then it kind of dissolved. And then that's when I got involved, was kind of helping bring that back along with Doug, which is great because he has a lot of experience and had been around for a while, especially in the Philly community. So it actually kind of died off for a while, and then we had to kind of revive it, and now it's stronger than it's ever been.
Yeah, and I think it was Owen was the motivating force behind those early days. And he kind of grew disenchanted with WordPress and went off and started Hibari. And so there was no personality driving the meetup. So it just really just died off. And Brad, having you come into the area and basically having two people to run it, or, mm-hmm. you know, the motivation was there. It was great. You know, you have an off month and the other guy's like, oh, you know what, we really need to schedule one up here. We need to get people served. So
I couldn't agree more. Having for meetups, for WordCamps, for really anything you're doing, having at least two people that are motivated, and either one can run it kind of without independently of the other person, I mean, that's been a huge help. Especially in where we're at. But going back to the early days of it, do you think that maybe when you started it might have been a little bit premature as far as WordPress? Because it really, I mean, if you look back on the timeline of WordPress, 2005, 6, 7, like, sure, there were a lot of users, but obviously, you know where we're at today. You know, and kind of really ramped up just in the last few years. You think that might have been a little bit of it too?
You know, I think there was some of that, and there was a general Philly bloggers meetup that used to kind of trail us wherever we went. They would kind of start about, you know, hour and a half behind us, and you'd get more people who were just content creators coming in and talking. And that even died out. So it kind of felt like, you know, Alex Hillman down at Indy Hall actually, I think, has done a lot to revive the tech scene in Philly. And I think that in some ways we've been beneficiaries of that, that now Philly proper has a great co-working space that a lot of really cool things are getting done at. And there's a lot of WordPress representation there. There's a lot of people doing really cool stuff there. And, you know, so you've got like a touchstone where people can come in and do all kinds of crazy things and bounce things off each other. And it just added energy to the whole tech scene as you know, just as one picture. So,
and that's a bigger picture thing, right? So maybe that was part of the influence there, because I think there was a lot of, okay, where are we now? What do we do next? The first internet kind of tech bubble and all of that. It's like, what happens next? I think maybe some of that disconnect, maybe that the WordPress meetup experience was largely in part due to the overall tech or internet scene, some of the issues that were happening there, yeah. And where that was going to stem into next and what it's become today. I think as it started to find itself and the internet as a whole started to mature in the late 2000s, 2010, 2011, that's where you really saw the boom in things like WordPress. The social landscape had started to develop, microblogging and all that fun stuff to supplement our publishing efforts. And I think that's certainly influenced it. Would you guys care to give your stance on that?
I mean, yeah, I would say that some of it. Also, Brad, you got something going on with your video. You look like an Aphex Twin video.
How about now? How do I look now?
There you go. so, yeah, I think there's a lot to it that, you know, 2007 was maybe a little early for it to be, you know, really the real bust that you saw in 2008, 2009. But I think not enough people knew what WordPress was. And so fortunately, you know, unlike a real startup firm or anything like that, we weren't out any money other than the meetup.com fees. That was actually a big thing. They didn't charge initially. So the first, I don't know, 6 months to a year, we were on there, you know, gratis. We used to try to pirate Wi-Fi off of one of the, you know, nearby businesses. And then they started charging for meetup groups. And so Owen sent out an email and was like, do we really want to do this? You know, I can kick in the money, but does it really make sense to keep at this? So, like I said, we had no VC, we had no investors, we had no nothing like that, like, you know, the rest of the tech bubble that went poof. So we're fortunate in that respect. And now we're back and stronger than ever. We're hovering around that 1,000 user mark.
Yeah, we're just shy of 1,000. I'm really pushing. I know we'll hit 1,000 members by the end of the year. We'll probably have a big party to celebrate. I think we're one of the top 10 WordPress meetup groups in the U.S., which is pretty exciting. And we have a great community. Dre, you've been out. You've met a lot of our community members. It's just a really great community. So hats off to you, Doug, because you've been a big part of that.
Well, yeah, and like I said, absent you coming back in and kind of doing that kick in the pants, I think we'd still be we wouldn't be around there, essentially. There wouldn't have been the motivation to say, yeah, we need to start this back up again.
Well, and I think that, you know, when you get into groups like that, now you start to see mixed audience that continue to kind of drive it upwards. You get involvement in not just individuals and maybe some developers or some new folks trying to get into the development design scene, maybe even the business aspect of WordPress. But you see existing businesses that are wanting to leverage the platform or that have resources already around that. And we'll probably get that here just a second in the pressing topics, which this week is brought to you by Maintain, professional WordPress supported maintenance service on any host. You need to go check them out at Maintain, that's 2ends.com. And if you're interested in getting a service plan, you get 30% off any plan for 3 months if you use the subscription code DRADCAST. So go sign up at Maintain.com. I think you get a mix of folks, and I think they're starting to see, as WordCamps have developed, that meetups play a big part of that. And we're starting to see WordCamps maybe change a little bit in terms of the type of material that's being presented there. We're starting to see a lot more consistent two-day camps, where historically it's one day of multiple tracks. And, of course, the bigger ones had 2 days with a full developer day, but a lot of the smaller ones didn't. What we're starting to see is a new trend where at WordCamps, on Sunday. They'll have some developer-centric stuff, but there's also a new direction in business tracks. And that's been a hot topic over the last week. I know this weekend there was one at Orange County that Brad and I got to sit in on.
Which was awesome.
It was amazing. And, well, the camp in general was awesome. Day two on Sunday was great as well. There were some presentations on plugins, but a whole panel on business and some really great questions and discussions stem from that. What is your guys' take on this whole direction that we're seeing here with the business tracks that are being presented on an off day, not so much on day one to you know overshadow any of the awesomeness that WordCamp is, but do you guys see a place for these in moving forward? I know, Brad, we've talked about this a little bit.
Well, Doug, I'll let you take first stab at it, and then I'll kick that horse after you're done. So,
I don't have a horse mask, unlike Duff.
So, yeah.
I got a cowboy hat, though.
So unprepared.
So I think, you know, in organizing WordCamp Philly, we've done a second day. I think we've done it the last 3 years, right, Brad, that we've done?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, we've done a developer day or a second day. And it's always kind of a little more loosey-goosey, and sometimes you have some real good things that come out of it, and sometimes it just feels a little directionless. And so I think having that day to have a specific purpose can help, definitely. And as we were talking about before, so many of the attendees, you know, you have all kinds of people who are not even techies, you know, have no real interest in being a developer, being any of these sorts of things. But now all of a sudden they know the name WordPress. They know that it's out there and it's going to help them get content on the web. And they know that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be pretty easy to do that. And so you get all these people turning up to meetups, you get them turning out to WordCamps, and they want to figure out, okay, you know what, I don't like my job all that much, or I got a real passion for something else, and I want to get out there, and I want to learn how to do it, but I got no idea how to start. I don't even know how to take step one and to get myself off the ground. And these business tracks, I think, in a lot of ways can help people focus, give people real ideas, and it's, you know, it's not so much even about, you know, monetary capital. It's about intellectual capital. It's about having an idea where to go, where to even get started.
I
definitely agree. I'm a big fan of them. We've really just seen them kind of take off, I would say, a little bit in the last year, more so this year on the WordCamp side. At Philly last year, we were in October. We did a panel. Mm-hmm. With we had four or five basically freelancers on stage, and it was very very open, very, you know, we had a few questions to kind of throw, but we really wanted to get audience participation, and it was probably one of the best received things that we did, and it was kind of something we kind of stuck in the auditorium room that we really didn't have a lot of plans for, because a lot of people had submitted similar talks around freelancing, you know, contracts, landing projects, proposals, things like that. We did it, and I mean, people loved it. They really loved it, and that was on a very small scale. That was just one panel for the whole camp. That was it. But now we're seeing things like Miami, you know, had a whole track on the second day. San Diego, right, Dre? You guys did a whole track right on Sunday. Is that right?
The whole day was
the whole day on Sunday.
Yeah, the way that it was set up was each speaker, which I think there was. Five or six speakers gave the presentation twice, because there were so many folks that signed up. They doubled the amount of attendance they expected, so each speaker actually had to give it twice because the venue wasn't big enough. It was amazing. Yeah, I got to sit that panel personally, so it was there was a lot of awesome feedback from it.
It's very well received. WordCamp OC this past week, and Dre mentioned we were both at. What they did on Sunday was they had an actual panel that ran about 3 hours. And it was really cool. They called it WPMBA, and anybody that had questions, whether at the camp or not, could tweet on that hashtag, submit their questions. And they had, I mean, the panel was a great group of people: Chris Lima, Saeed Balki, Kareem Marucci, David Hensel, Steve Zingit. I mean, they're all professionals. They've all done really well. They all have a lot of experience in the field, a lot of different experience. Like, if you know any of those guys, you know they're not really all in the same business, right? They all do a little bit different. Different business make money different ways, which I think is interesting because it's always fun. Same thing at Philly. We had all those freelancers up there. None of them were doing things the same way. They're all doing things differently, and I think they were even learning from each other a little bit as they were talking. But I sat in there, and you know, I've been running a business for a while now. I started Web Dev Studios. There's really like one and a half of us on a coffee table. Now we're up to 14 people. You know, we're one of the, you could say larger shops in the WordPress community as far as 100% WordPress. But there was nothing like this back when we were starting. I had to figure it out as I went, you know. So I'm still sitting on these things and gaining knowledge and thinking, hey, like, I know I don't have everything down perfect. I'm always trying to learn. I learned some things on Sunday that I'm already trying to implement, stuff that we weren't doing, or maybe programs to help manage time or schedules or things like that. I mean, I think they're very invaluable. So, yeah, I mean, one of the reasons this kind of became a hot topic, Jake Goldman threw out a couple tweets and how he's not really a fan of them. You know, and that's, you know, that's his opinion, and I understand that, and I respect him, and Jake's a good guy. He's not out there, you know, starting a flame war around it. But some of the tweets he put out, I a lot of people did not agree with, and that's what led Chris Limita to write his blog post about business WordCamps, and there's some really good comments, so definitely check it out on Chris Limita's blog, chrislimita.com. And Jake had a nice, rather than just a bunch of tweets, he actually put in his kind of whole side of the story, which I think is important to read too, where he's coming from. And did you guys get a chance to see kind of Jake's side, you know, and also Chris's side, and if so, what side you kind of lean towards?
You know, they both make good points. I mean, I'm personally on the side of Chris Lima here. I think that when you look at WordPress, WordPress is more than just a platform. We have said that. It's community. When we look at community and what historically has been presented at WordCamps, we're talking about design stuff. We're talking about development stuff. We're talking about contracts. We're talking about business. We're talking about all of these things. So for one thing to overshadow another, I certainly think that it's on the organizer just to ensure that there's a well-rounded event for all of the folks that are going to be attending to get what makes sense for all of all of them, or for them, whoever's attending. But I think it's certainly important to present things around business, because that is a big part of growing WordPress around growing our community. And if we can help somebody step it from, hey, look, I'm that full-time person working at XYZ Corporation, and I'm trying to make that step, and I've got awesome ideas, but what's disabling me from moving that forward is time or the know-how, and I can get that from a WordCamp, and I can execute on those awesome ideas, then I think that we should do everything possible as a community to nurture that. And I think that it's not something that should be at those that are at 100% experience that have been around forever, because they may be so well disconnected from the folks that are trying to make that plunge that their insight may be overwhelming and to the point where it doesn't enable them to do it as effectively as someone that maybe just moved it into that direction. So yeah. I would side on the side of Chris Lima on something like this.
I mean, go ahead, Doug.
I was just going to say, Trey, when you were saying that, you know, having design tracks and developer tracks and things like that, it almost strikes me like it's a little bit like if somebody were to be putting together a fundamentals of design, talk, and their tool of choice was Corel Paint. Mm-hmm. And somebody was slagging on them for that, saying like, oh, what are you doing? Like, you're going to try to scale up and nobody uses Corel Paint, and you're not going to have all the cool filters that Photoshop has, and nobody's going to respect you because you started off completely wrong. And it's essentially missing the point of the fact that the method to the madness is really sort of that getting your first steps into design. I stink at design. I'm absolutely terrible at design. You give me a site with, you know, straight lines and boxes, I'm in there, which is why I love flat design. But
but what if the angle? What if at a WordCamp it presented you the angle to not maybe have to learn how to make, you know, line point A to point B in Corel, but enable you to make a relationship or to make a connection with somebody that can do that for you, and you can effectively work together for you to get that point where you need to grow. I mean, and I think that's the concept here.
Yeah.
Right, you're right. And so, I mean, that's what I'm saying is I think this is a little bit analogous to we're arguing method or tool choice, kind of, rather than looking at it as a, you know, nobody, or not nobody, but a sizable portion of the population that's out there using WordPress doesn't have an MBA, has no idea how to get a business started around anything, be it an Etsy shop to, you know, starting a theme shop to all sorts of things like that. And so having things where, you know, you might say, okay, it's betraying the whole maker aspect of a WordCamp. But, you know, I'd love to have, like, Pippin Williamson come in and give a talk on how do you support a plugin? How do you do a commercialized plugin and actually support it really well from the ground up? How do you even, you know, start to do that? How do you manage your time? Do you answer support tickets after your 9 to 5? You know, are you sneaking lunch breaks to do, you know, that kind of stuff? What, you know, those kind of questions. So,
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the tweets Jake put out there that I definitely don't agree with, he says that a four-man, you know, imagine a four-man agency owner giving how to build a WordCamp presentation, or a freelancer giving win big projects. He says it makes WordPress look like amateur hour. And then Matt actually responded and said, we are amateurs. And that's kind of what I agree with. Like, WordPress, and I've said this a lot, WordPress is still very, very young in the terms of the commercial space and the businesses built around WordPress. It's very young.
You know, it reaches back to me. I have a personal kind of thought around that in terms of, look, I was in that same boat, right? So I think that through these discussions with my peers and so on, it's helped me progress in my business knowing and acumen. I'm not an MBA or anything by any means, but I was a one-man shop at the beginning of last year formally, right? I was a single-man employee, and I turned into, you know, something very small. And of course, with my partners and so on, but as a single guy that was full time into a multi-million-dollar company, so to make the argument that a four-man crew can't be some awesome business is terribly misleading.
It's really not about the size, right? It's about the execution of what you're doing.
Certainly, and building those relationships around you. I think that WordCamps allow you to do that, and there is room for us to improve. We are amateurs. We are folks that are learning in a very relatively young community. We need to continue to grow in that together. These type of things, one of the things was says he wrote, these things are really bad business discussions. Not bad presenters, per se, good stage presence, but bad information and ideas. You know, okay, that's a WordCamp in general. You know how many horrible security discussions I've heard that I want to I cringe in the corner in the fetal position because now 200 people are listening to this and they're giving them just completely terrible information. So if you don't think that that's happening in other presentations in WordCamps today already, that's also another skewed point there.
It's tough on the organizer. I mean, you know, we've all organized WordCamps here, multiple WordCamps, three of us. So we know what it's like to try to lock in speakers. And generally, we know a lot of the speakers, but sometimes we don't. A lot of times, especially with the local speakers, we want to give them a chance. We want to have them try it out. Now, I may not pick a topic. I definitely wouldn't pick a topic as sensitive as security to give someone a chance. But I may, you know, give them a chance on something like what kind of, you know, what are your favorite plugins you use? And sometimes you're kind of rolling the dice on those people. And, yeah, you look into it and you vet them a little bit, but there's really only so far that can go, especially around certain topics. So I think you're always in any, like you said, Dre, any topic, we've all seen some bad ones where we're sitting there like, ooh, I wouldn't.
Hey, Dre's quick, I should say this for the Bartrix. Quick tip, if you're putting in a presentation for WordCamp, capital P, dang it. That's all I got to say. That's going to carry you along.
A WordPress job?
Yeah. You might want to make sure it's two words, capital P, my friends.
Going back to that tweet, there's one point I want to make about the four-man agency or the freelancer. I understand what Jake's talking about. I understand how he says in one of the quotes in his comment that we're skewed senses of expertise and scale, that I think most results from us still being relatively young as a community and business opportunity. I get what he's saying. If Jake gets up there and says, this is how you land six-figure jobs, to the outside world, that looks great. But how many people at that WordCamp does that relate to? Maybe one or two if you're lucky. Not very many. A freelancer is going to be like, I can't do a six-figure job. But if I got up there and said, here's how you land a $10,000 or $15,000 job. Yeah, it's much smaller, but that's in line with the audience you're talking to. That the freelancers would be perked up like, I want a $15,000 job. I know I could handle it. How do I get it? You know. So I think these presentations are presenting to the audience that come to WordCamp. So I think going to like six-figure jobs or how to build a company that's 30 or 40 people, that's not the audience that are at WordCamps. The audience are, like you said, the four-man companies, the five-man companies.
You can't define success in business by those six-figure jobs in this world that we're in today. Hey, that's just not the reality. Let's live by the same mantra as WordPress Core. It's the 80-20 rule. So that 10, 15K job is probably a super kick-ass place to start.
Right. And so, I mean, since we in the WordPress community are all about being like Tumblr these days,
I'm glad somebody agrees with me. I preach it.
So I don't know if you guys saw Marco Arment, who was like employee number two at Tumblr, wrote up a kind of his recollections of the early days at Tumblr. And you want to talk about a small shop. I mean, for literally, I think it was like the first 3 years of the company or so, it was basically him and the co-founder – or I guess the actual founder, he was kind of brought on as employee number, you know, number two. And they, you know, working through all those sorts of things. But now you look at Tumblr turning around and getting sold for how much, you know, to Yahoo. I mean, so from small beginnings, I think Brad is a little bit your point, and Dre, your point as well, that, you know, to kind of poo-poo that and say, look, you know, okay, so maybe it is going to be a four-man person going out and bidding a $150,000 job. Okay, fine. But, you know, like you said, $15,000 start, and then you build it up. And I mean, to be completely honest, Brad, you know, with the sites that you develop, you might have 14 people on staff, but, you know, doesn't it kind of break down to you end up having like four or five guys being kind of core working that site? And so it really is a team that small doing the development. Yeah. So, you know, it might be, okay, there's only four of us in the company. We can only work one job at a time, but it's a huge job. When we get it done, we get it well, you know, done well. And so, yeah, so.
I really hope to see more business stuff. But, you know, at least I like the idea of a track. I like the idea of doing it on Sunday. You know, don't try to cram it into the main day unless you're doing, eight tracks like New York or something. I think it's nice having it, like, on the second day. It's not going to pertain to as many people, but the people that does pertain to, I mean, that's insanely invaluable knowledge. I mean, you get people like we saw WordCamp OC. I think at one point they mentioned, like, if you add up all of our hourly rates for 3 hours and total that, who would have paid that to get this information? I mean, that's and it's true. Like, you're talking thousands of dollars to get the information that they're dropping, and it's invaluable to someone, especially someone that's just trying to start out and really grow their business, freelancer or full-blown company. There's always going to be stuff to be learned.
Yeah, speaking of learning, I think we need to continue checking out what's happening beyond the WordCamp landscape. Obviously, we've seen this stem into more of the business piece with Pressnomics. We've seen a 24-hour event with WordSesh, which was super sick. I know that you guys, I don't know if both of you were involved. I know, Brad, you had a little bit of oversight on some of what happened there, but there's a new one coming up that's a little bit different. It looks like it's some folks maybe from your general area or camp as well named WP Sessions. Can you give me the lowdown on what's going on there?
Yes, sir. So WP Sessions was actually just launched or just went live on Monday. Started by a gentleman that I know very well because he works at WebDev Studios, Brian Richards, who's a great guy. If you never got a chance to meet or talk to Brian, in fact, we need to get him on the show because he's an amazingly smart guy and a just really, really cool guy to talk to. So he had this idea, and when he first started talking to us about it, we were, you know, Dre and I were actually together when he was emailing us about it. We're like, it sounds like WordSesh. I didn't quite understand the difference, but it actually is a really distinct difference. So one of the main changes or differences that you'll notice is that it does cost money. Now, it doesn't cost a lot of money, but it does cost money. So you're basically signing up for a group of sessions that are going to be shown live to you. So they'll actually be instructing live, just like we're doing right here. They'd be live. There'd be a chat room. You could ask questions directly to them. And it'll be a series of three presentations around a specific topic that you sign up for. So, for example, they're doing a plugin development one. The first one they're doing is around plugin development. And it actually is Saturday, June 22nd, and there's going to be three presentations. The first one will be a beginner's guide to plugin development by Topher DeRosia. The second is for intermediate developers by Daniel Espinoza, and the third is advanced techniques by Pippin. And a lot of us know Pippin. So, I mean, these are people that have names. They have you know, the proven record of being able to give those presentations. So the cost is pretty nominal. I believe it's $20. Yes, $20 for that first session. So $20, and you get three sessions, which is basically, like I said, a live stream. And from that, you're probably going to learn quite a bit. The goal is to actually compensate, or one of the goals is to, you know, not only give out awesome information, but also pay the presenters to their time to get higher quality presenters, people that really have the knowledge of the industry, and then pay them for their time so that, you know, there is a value to it for them, right? So, and ultimately, they're going to release each one of these videos on WordPress.tv. I believe a month after they air, they'll go up on WordPress.tv. So it's a pretty interesting concept. I mean, what do you guys think? You think this is going to take off?
So, I mean, I think... Oh, go ahead, Dre.
Oh, no. Age before beauty, my friend.
I was just going to say, I mean, you know, that last aspect is actually really pretty cool. The pushing it to WordPress.tv is... in one sense, that's sort of something that the WordCamp videos and sort of the non-paywall videos that you tend to see out there are really missing is that Khan Academy-like aspect where you have people stepping you through the process behind the way to do something, be it simple or complex. And so I think I think that's really a mix of pretty awesome things that you're gonna make it worth somebody's while to actually invest in putting together a really, really awesome presentation, a really, really awesome class, essentially. And then necessarily the community is going to benefit because that stuff is not going to sit there behind, you know, a NewYorkTimes.com style firewall where you got to pay subscription fees.
Yeah, I think it's neat. He actually lists out his long-term goals. And they're to create a wonderful new educational resource for the community. Great. Compensate experts for their time and efforts. Awesome. And provide free education opportunities so cost is not a barrier. So they're going to offer free courses over time. They'll provide scholarships to the people that deserve them. And then they'll roll them out to WordPress.tv. I think I said 1 month. It's actually going to be 6 months. So for the first 6 months, each presentation will only be available to paying customers. And then after that, they will end up on WordPress.tv. So it is part of giving back. I don't think the idea here is to actually like pocket a bunch of money. I think the idea is to roll that back into the community and back into these videos and getting the highest quality speakers that they can, presenters that they can. So,
Hold on.
Let me give you a rule of thumb for the rest of the episode. If there's two men in the room with beards, the guy with the longer beard gets right away. All right. So let's, now that that's established, fire away.
I was just gonna say, from the business track sort of thing that we were talking about, people are looking to get into a maker standpoint where they can contribute stuff back to the community. Okay, that's great. So you got people all this knowledge locked up, and essentially if they're having to get by, and so they have to dedicate all their time and all their resources to basically doing client work for doing, you know, plugin development, whatever that case may be, they don't have time to develop these really awesome classroom tracks. And so, I think that's a really good sort of way of getting around that if you make it where it's worth their while to kind of take a little bit of time and carve that out of their schedule where they're not having to do client work because they know that it's not going to put them into the Rolls Royce, but it's going to at least make it, you know, not completely painful to sit down and come out with a curriculum and put together how to's and those sorts of things.
There's nothing wrong with paying people for their time and knowledge. I mean, again, if you were to hire Pippin hourly to teach you, it's going to cost you a lot. 20 bucks will probably get you, I don't know, 5, maybe 10 minutes if you're lucky. So it's not going to go real far. But on here, you're actually, you know, it's a live presentation. That's really what you're paying for, is a live aspect of it. And also to watch the other videos behind the paywall. So you'll have that interaction. If you have a question, you can raise your hand and say, hey, I didn't quite get, can you recap that? I didn't quite understand what you just said. And if you can't afford it or you don't have time or whatever, you can always just catch the replay once they're available. So I think it's a really neat idea. Dre, man, you got to get a hold of it. I security, you got to get up there. Maybe we get some Drad security going on or something.
Hey, we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll talk to the founder there and kick him around a little bit.
If only we knew a way to get a hold of him. I don't know. Maybe we can. Maybe Brian will tweet us or something. And
hey, well, let's figure that out. Talking about cost, there's no better cost than free. In most cases, free doesn't always mean awesome. But just this week, actually, was it yesterday? The iThemes camp, who's always innovating and dropping some pretty cool stuff out there for the WordPress world, dropped a new product and threw their hat into the WordPress e-commerce world. That's kind of crazy. So Exchange, have you guys been checking this out? Did you guys see the release on this?
Yes. Not to brag, but I had a little inside knowledge that this was coming. But it's neat to see it live. I didn't know the name or anything. I just knew there was some e-commerce stuff coming. I respect the hell out of iThemes. Corey Miller, the whole team over there. I mean, those guys are, the whole team is awesome. If you ever get the chance to talk to anybody at iThemes, I mean, just their work ethic and their passion for what they do is bar none. So anything they release, you know, is going to be pretty amazing. And it's even more amazing that they're jumping into the e-commerce space, because that's a doozy. I mean, that's not, you know, you're not jumping into like a little cool photo gallery, jumping into e-commerce. That's like the mother of all like plugins and add-ons, you know. So very respectful. I'm anxious to see it, because the whole kind of stick in how they explained it is that they're really trying to make it easy and simple. You know, it's not going to be a Magento of e-commerce. It sounds like it probably won't be like a WooCommerce. It's going to be very kind of like stupid easy. Again, I haven't played with it, but that's based on how I'm reading it. I'm excited. I'm excited to see it. And I think Corey Miller nailed it. He put out a tweet, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he said, you know, anytime there's competition in an industry, there's always a winner, and the winner is the customer, right? So I think he nailed it with that. Like, competition is good. So seeing other players in the space that have a good name and know what they're doing, I think is a good thing.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that, you know, it is going to be easy in nature in terms of use compared to some of the other platforms out there. Now, do you think that something like that will stem towards maybe some of the hosted providers that we see out there for WordPress specifically, where it's something that they can adopt and integrate into their already kind of managed environments? Do you think that there's a play there?
There's a play. I mean, I guess it depends, what kind of partnerships they set up and honestly, like how well it's received, I think, once they open up. I think the really big thing they have going for them is they have a really large community, just like WooCommerce, WooThemes. WooThemes has a very large community. iThemes, very large. StudioPress, very, like, they have some very loyal customers that swear by their products and everything they release. So it's immediately going to get adopted, I'm sure, by quite a few a lot of websites. So yeah, we'll definitely have to see kind of how it grows and who takes it on and who is really starting to use it. I'm excited because, you know, honestly, not like WooCommerce is that hard, but if you're looking to sell some very basic stuff, you know, maybe it would be difficult. Of course, we sit here and say WordPress is easy as hell, but if you talk to some new users or sit like your grandma down in front of WordPress, they're having no idea what they're looking at. So it's not as easy as we think.
Well,
so what was that that third party site that WordPress.com just announced a integration with that allows you to basically sell single items directly from your WordPress.com site? I'm trying to remember what it's called.
I'm typing as fast as I can.
This almost seems like it plays in that space directly. Like you said, it's not a WooCommerce, it's not a WP Commerce, it's not a
ShopLocket.
Right. It's not Shop, it's not anything like that. It's something to pull your Etsy wares in off of Etsy and sell them on your site instead. It's exciting for that, and I was getting a mixed message at least initially, because at least somewhat it sounded like Pippin's EDD. And then there was some speculation that, no, it actually allowed for physical wares as well as electronic. So I don't know where that stands.
And I think that's the play there, right? They're really trying to focus on the easy nature of e-commerce using WordPress. And if we continue to provide those type of solutions to end users out there, not just from a usability standpoint, but for even deployment, wherein you can come in and get your theme from iThemes. You can come in and get this plugin and very simplistically approach a full deployment from beginning to end, you're in a good spot. And I think a lot of people are taking that approach, right? Whether it's plugins, whether it's themes, whether it's hosting. We see that with WP... all of our little hosts, right? Pagely, we got the Zippy Kids, we got WP Engine, who sponsors this show. Now there's a new player on the game in the bigger kind of hosting environments doing the same thing. So the first major host to get out there and actually supply a managed WordPress hosting environment is DreamPress. Do you guys see the release that DreamHost just put out this week?
Can I just point out that you are on your game with segues today? You were nailing them left and right and up and down. You're nailing them. So,
oh man, you guys took me away from that. I tried to go in it like three times. You guys just killed it. I'm like playing playing spades, and I couldn't trick you guys.
The whole chat room's talking about how smooth your segues are. They're not talking about what we're talking about.
Well, they went into that and how my how I run a real segue and I wear a fanny pack. So that happened.
I did see DreamPress. I think it's interesting. With the mere fact that, I mean, obviously it makes sense, right? I mean, WordPress is huge. We know what's it running 18% of the websites. I mean, however, like 60 or 70% of the blogs or something. It's huge. So we all, you know, all these hosts, DreamHost and BlueHost and HostGator, they all have, you know, really advertise around WordPress, but they don't really have a specific, you know, WordPress managed package. It's really just host with us. We do WordPress. Whereas DreamHost has set up an actual WordPress package that's on a managed VPS, but it's a completely WordPress managed, very optimized for WordPress, set up just for WordPress. I think this is I'm sure all the other large hosting companies out there are paying very, very close attention to this and thinking about doing the exact same thing or similar.
Right. So, I mean, it is an interesting play. It is, if you don't get in at the introductory rate, what's the knock, like $5 a month off for?
So right now it's $19.95 a month forever if you sign up, but that's the introductory rate. So
right, so it ends up being more expensive than their standard VPS rate that you would pay to get in a basically an equivalent a box to at least get in the door. So, but their value add, I think, is the fact that like WP Engine, like ZippyKid, like Pagely, they're handling a lot of those the backups. They're handling the upgrades, the notifications, the kind of making sure that everything scales. If you get hit with more traffic, you're not going to get your site knocked offline. You know, if John Gruber mm-hmm. daring fireballs your site, it's not going to go down, and he's not going to make snarky comments about, oh, another WordPress site.
They've got a big play here. I think that there is some validity to what they're doing here. I think we're going to see these continue to grow. I think that on their sheer name and complete audience now, WordPress audience now, this could be semi-successful very quickly out of the gate. Now, that doesn't speak very well for the level of things that are integrated into this. You talked about backups and things like that. What is the quality of this service compared to the big names in this world today? I don't think they can compete with that right out of the gate. Who knows? I haven't seen it. I certainly will.
Well, they're going to have to prove themselves, right? So absolutely. Right now, we don't really know until they prove themselves. And, you know, I would love to check this out and spin up a site and just, you know, play with it and see how it does.
Who are they really proving themselves to, right? Our small portion of the ecosystem, that the developers and so on that can be early adopters to drive it, to be affiliates or whatever that may be. Right, I mean, they already have an audience that is significantly bigger than any of the players in the space.
And let's go back to that business track again, sure. Where you know, let's say you're Dreamhost and you have people on shared hosting, and all of a sudden somebody starts getting traffic, they start getting a little notoriety, they start getting pretty good, and so they're right now their option is okay, let's go look for another managed provider. Let's go, like, host ourselves. Let's go pay somebody to do co-location space or to rent the VPS or go to Amazon Web Services or whatever you're going to do and do all that management ourselves and kind of do some heavy lifting. And there are companies that will do your migration for you, that sort of thing. But it's going to be a pain. Well, Micah Epstein, who's working for Dreamhost now, mm-hmm. Who's been around the WordPress community for so long, wrote up a little piece about how she wrote an initial import set how to basically to take your site from a Dreamhost hosted WordPress instance into the new DreamPress. But she said you're probably not going to have to do this for very much longer, be it days, weeks, months, whatever it might be. There's going to be a magic button. So you're somebody who gets into the space, you start growing, and all of a sudden you have this automatic, I'm making money now. All I have to pay is another like $15 a month essentially over my base hosting fees. I click a button and it sucks in my site and makes it into this fully redundant, scalable, managed WordPress install. So from that perspective, since they have such a huge install base of the small shared hosting sites, that's actually a huge market opportunity and a big win for them as far as that goes.
And that was what I was getting at. I mean, the adoption there is going to be quicker to gain, right? They're already in that environment. They're already customers. They're already on the sauce. I think the point I was trying to make is, look, I'd certainly like to test this to see how valid it is compared to the players in the space that we know and trust today, which I think we can arguably say they're probably doing it a lot better, being that they've been there for quite a while. They know what works, what doesn't, and so on from a production standpoint. Dreamhost is at a serious advantage because their audience already within, you know, their hosting environment is significantly larger than what we have in the WP Engines and so on of the world. So the growth patterns are going to be different. The margins are certainly going to be different. I think even starting off, we're seeing that the way that they're deploying this, they can come out with larger pricing and will probably get quicker adoption than any other host that we see out there that doesn't have large shared hosting environment backup from a marketing perspective.
Did you see the on their site, dreamhost.com/dreampress, did you notice the subtle jabs under the price comparison chart? So they have DreamHost price, right? Then they have a you-know-who, $29 per site. Then they have a or-is-it-whom, $27 or what, and then it says $500 per site, best we can determine. I'm pretty sure I know who two out of the three of those
yes,
are. All right. Hosting companies, man, they can fight each other like the best of them.
Butcher Dukes. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
John Saddington of WP Daily just dropped a link in the chat about a potential conflict of interest between DreamHost and WP Engine, where there's Josh Jones, who's an investor in both. Is that a conflict of interest if you're investing in kind of multiple hosting companies that are really targeted towards the same platform?
So wait, doesn't Automattic do that today?
Yeah, I think that was mentioned that Automattic has backed WP Engine and ZippyKid. So, I mean, is that commonplace? I mean, I honestly don't know, but that seems a little odd to me that you would back, like, basically competitors.
Well, I mean, it's...
So, like, laying all your chips on every number on the roulette table and you know you win regardless, but at the end of the day, you're probably losing more money?
It's like that... I think it was either MIT or Carnegie Mellon where they got a grad students together that they went through and mathematically proved that if you got startup investors to front you a bunch of money and you went and you bought basically every single scratch-off ticket for, you know, a given state's lottery, you had a very decent chance of at least doubling your money, if not more. So, you know, if you want to go that route and you put your money on every single scratch-off ticket. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
It's interesting. I'm really excited to see kind of how this turns out. I mean, I like a lot of the companies that are already out there. Again, competition is usually good for the customer. So I would not be surprised if we start seeing a Blue Press and a Gator Press and a, you know, some of these others. But it'll be interesting to see how this shapes up throughout the year.
Go Press.
Yeah, no, Go Press in general, right? Let's make it happen, Captain. Man, well, I'll tell you, this episode is brought to you by Gravity Forms. Gravity Forms 1.7 is out. Two major features released in 1.7. All the goodness that comes with Gravity Forms as it is now, you can set up as many notification messages as you'd like, and you'd have now any number of confirmations instead of just one for forms. So go check it out at gravityforms.com. Let's move into the bar tricks, guys, and then some events, and let's rock it out of here for episode 15. Who's got a bar trick going on today?
All right, so mine is kind of stupid, but
that's what we're all about.
let me put that forward. So you know, I let off talking about the Enterprise, and unlike I think pretty much everybody but iFroggy, who's been on the show thus far, I don't have a vested interest in the WordPress ecosystem in that I don't have a company with skin in the game. I work, you know, for a third party who has really nothing to do with WordPress. But I'm constantly, I'm the velociraptor at the fence. I'm pushing on my web team. I'm pushing on, you know, all sorts of people to try to get WordPress into the little nooks and crannies and try to get a bigger presence inside of the particular enterprise organization that I'm a part of. And so it's all about integrating. It's all about making sure that WordPress works with the stuff that's out there. And one thing about businesses is there's a lot of data that you deal with day in and day out. And you need to make some of that data easy to deal with. And so there's a nifty little plugin called TablePress that I actually find a lot of use for. And it's available on the plugin repo. And it basically allows you to go and create a table. And it becomes basically a custom post type, and then you can insert that into any post, any page, etc. And then you're managing it through. It's almost akin to like Excel, where you can add rows, you can add columns, you can do sorting, you can do all sorts of nifty things like that. You know, there's a few plugins out there that do something like this. This is the one that I've been relying upon recently that has actually made it pretty easy for me to do things like, you know, keep track of all the software that's installed on a high-performance cluster and make it really easy for people to check out what's out there and if they need to request something. So, like I said, kind of stupid, but it's one of those sorts of things where I swear to you, I've shown it to other people on my team, and they go, they just, you know, they do the Doc Brown, oh, whoa. And that's awesome. So
80,000 gigawatts, Marty.
Dre, you're quite an impressionist, man. Like, when you do impressions, it quiets the room.
Terrible. Table press. You got a link for the room there? Let's rock that link.
Yeah.
I got you.
So I have a bar trick.
Fire away.
I just found. Actually, I was talking to our buddy Jeffro over at the tavern. We're sitting around the bar having a drink at the WP Tavern, and he was asking me about the proper way to uninstall plugins. If as a developer, what do developers do to uninstall? And he actually wrote a post, which isn't my spotlight, but I'll mention it because this kind of touches on what we were talking about, on why you should have an uninstall.php file in your plugin instead of using the hook. And the uninstall.php file, if it exists in your plugin, any code in there will run when somebody deletes your plugin from WordPress. So it's a great way to clean up, get rid of stuff. If somebody deleted your plugin, then they don't want to use your plugin, so you should get rid of all the junk you left in there. But a lot of people and a lot of plugin developers don't do that. So you remove their plugin, and let's say they made some custom tables or added a bunch of data in there that you don't need. So there is a plugin called WPDB Spring Clean, and I'll leave a link here. Find on WordPress.org. And what this allows you to do is it will actually analyze all the plugins you're using and then look at any tables that they might be using, custom tables. And if it finds any that aren't actually being used, it will bring those back and say, hey, we found these 10 tables that none of your active plugins or your theme or anything that we can find is using these tables, and give you the option to remove them. Obviously, always back up just in case, but it will help you identify things that have been left over, you know, old cruft left over by plugins you've uninstalled years ago. It will also help you optimize your database tables and free up some unused space and things like that. So it's kind of a cool idea if you're not super technical enough to dive right into your database and kind of selectively delete out tables or look at the data. This is a great one to do. Obviously, make sure you back up that database before you do anything. But this is a good one to help clean that stuff up, because I almost guarantee you, if you've installed, I would say, 20 or more plugins over the last few years, you probably have some custom tables in there that you don't even know about. So check it out. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, another plug there for WP Engine. When you go to install a new plugin or you go to uninstall, it says, hey, have you backed up? Why don't you do that now?
Exactly. Always back up. Even if you don't think you need a backup, take one. I did a migration a few weeks back. Throughout the course of about a two-hour migration, I think I took 20 snapshots of the database. Not because I had to, but because I wanted to make sure I had increments throughout the whole process. So about every 10 minutes, I would snapshot it. So it's better to have way more than you need than not the one that you need. So,
word up. Well, I've got nothing. That's what I got this week. This is what I got. We're on. So for those of you that know,
cloud proxy.
Well, no. Well, cloud proxy. Yeah, I'm a softball buff. My oldest four girls play softball, and I just want to give a quick shout out to the city of Menifee and Menifee 8U, 10U, 12U, and 14U all star teams that are playing in the Inland Empire this week, week four, and then they go to regionals. So congratulations on a great effort, and we hope that you guys take it all the way to nationals. Have a good one. All right.
Go Team Dre.
So go Team Dre. So this last weekend we spent some quality time with our awesome and favorite friends down in Orange County, who run arguably some of the best community events for WordPress and the nation. Of course, second to Philly. Got to give you guys some love here.
Well, I got to say, man, being an outsider, I said this to the group there, but I want to make sure I put it on air. Like, I mean, WordCamp OC and the OC WordPress community absolutely lived up and exceeded everything I've heard about it. I mean, you guys have a great group of people out there. Very open, very friendly, very knowledgeable. I mean, I think your Facebook group is... I'm in a lot of WordPress Facebook groups. Yours is the most active I'm in by far. And it's like you said, you post something, you post a question, you'll get five responses in an hour, easy, if not more. So it's very commendable what they're doing out there. Great group of people. If you ever get the chance to go to OC, even if just to go to a meetup, you're gonna enjoy it. You're gonna learn a lot of stuff. So I had an amazing time out there. Thanks to Brandon and Jeff and everybody that was involved there, Robert and everybody. So definitely loved it. Now you guys all have to come to Philly. That was the agreement, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what we agreed on.
I think that's what I heard. It surely was a good time. So Mr. Saddington, I don't think you read my post to you there. So here's a quick answer for you, my friend. You asked what type of headphones we're wearing. So I am personally wearing Beats by Dre. Go figure, right? And I have a total of 92 hats. So now that that's answered, Let's
move on. I have three visors. All I wear is visors, and these are $5 headsets, and only one ear works. This one doesn't work at all, so. Oh, boy.
On the headset or in your head?
I was actually pointing to my brain, but, yeah. And who just joined us here?
I just put my Stetson on. Look, we're talking about hats.
Oh, man. Oh, that's a hat right there.
Ah, that's not a knife. This is a knife. And this guy, what is he wearing? Well, all right. So, listen, we've got WordCamp San Francisco coming up here next month, the 26th through the 28th. Both halves of Drad will be there. So come join us. Say hello. Come grab some stickers.
I'm not a half of Dre, so let's clear that up right now.
Kind of creepy. Yeah, I'm all right.
We'll be there. I can't wait.
Then later in the year, we've got WordCamp Europe and Pressnomics. We'll follow up with more info as those get closer. There's certainly some more camps coming up between now and then. And as they make it onto our list, we will talk about them. Well, Dan, I'll tell you, this has been fun, Mr. Zamus. Speaking of that, where can we find you?
So the Twitter handle is @Zamous, Zamoose. There's a story behind it I won't go into.
Zamous.
And the website is literalbarrage.org/blog, and that's what I've had since, like I said, back in those 1.0 days. And then just a quick plug. I don't know if you guys read Axe Cop at all, but... it is an incredible webcomic. It's written by, well, he started when he was five. It was written by a five-year-old and illustrated by his 29-year-old brother. And it's axcop.com, but I help him manage his social media presence, so help out on the Facebook side of things and stuff like that. But he's got an actual animated series coming out on Fox. They're doing a cartoon network. It's called ADHD. It comes out July 27th, and they're actually going to have Axe Cop animated series, and Axe Cop is voiced by none other than Ron Swanson.
Oh, yeah. You had to be an axe. So
so it's brilliant, and like I said, I'm trying to help a brother out there. He's Ethan, who's the prime the illustrator behind there, is a really good guy, so I just want to give that a plug, and if you don't read Axe Cop, you really should.
Yeah, well, we'll check it out. I'll tell you, we really appreciate you hosting episode 15 of the Dragcast. Always a pleasure. I look forward to seeing you. Hopefully next time my beard will be a little bit longer than yours. We'll see how that goes. Brad, where can we find you, my brother?
You can stalk me on Twitter, WilliamsBA. I have a blog and some other stuff. You can find it all from Twitter.
Well, folks, hey, that's episode 15, and the only advice I can give you in closing this is make sure you're a maker and not a fighter. Like Chris Lima always says famously, episode 15 of the Dragcast is done.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dragcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dragcast website at dragcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dragcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dragcast. Yeah.